We now have a panel to talk about indoor navigation. We have long been interested in how blind people can be at the forefront of utilizing technology to get access to information that we don't have about the environment around us. And every blind person, I'm sure, has experienced this problem that traveling in the environment physically is not so much the problem as it is getting access to the information we need to navigate in environments. And I first came to my first convention in 1996. At that time, the convention was part of testing new outdoor technology in Anaheim. I didn't do it myself, but people were walking around Anaheim with big backpacks and testing things out. And one person that was involved in that and has always been involved in the cutting edge of navigation and technology is Mike May. Some people are still missing their Sendero maps, you know. And Mike, as a blind person, has continued to push on the edge of technology to make sure that blind people are included in the full range of technology, especially as it relates to navigation, first outdoors and now indoors. As a blind person, again, his lived experience has been key in this. And if you come across him in any environment, he's always trying to push the edge for us as blind people. I invited Mike to moderate this panel, as I think his experience is very worthwhile. On this panel, we've invited Good Maps, who has presented to us before. Hey! And we've also invited a company that's not new to us, but I think they have not been on this stage before, which is Waymap. Now, there are many other companies working on various aspects of this, but these are two that we've had conversation with. And part of this panel is to talk about how and what role blind people should play in defining the technology and what we want it to do. Because a lot of times the technology developers love to tell us what's good for us. But we need to be the ones defining our own solutions. And so these are not to highlight these two solutions, but to have the conversation. And as long as we're on that, let me say that it's not just about these type of navigation solutions. Hopefully you got to visit XR Navigation in the exhibit hall. There's others that are working on innovative solutions. Blind people should be the ones to decide which ones are awesome and which ones should go away. And then we should be asking public accommodations to make their environments provide us with the information to enable these technologies. Because, by the way, lots of people have trouble getting around places, whether they can see or not. So here to introduce the panel is a good friend from the great state of Nevada. Here's Mike May. Get out the map, get out the map. Lay your finger anywhere down. Leave the finger into those we pass on our way out of town. We'll drink the water. There seems to be something ailing everyone. I'm on the clear.
Good morning. It's great to be here. I was hoping if we could request our own walk-up song. I wanted the Talking Heads song called Blind. Check it out. I've lived by the motto that very simply defines what we're up to here, and I think I'm preaching to the choir. The better you get around, the better you engage in life. End of story. There's a lot of different ways to do that, and we all do it in different ways. So that's really what we're going to be adding some information to today. It's certainly fun reflecting back on 1996, going across that huge Disneyland parking lot, trying to find a way from the hotel, from the Hilton, to the front gate of Disneyland. We've come a long way since then, but a lot of the same problems really exist. But it's all part of using the tools and techniques to get around. I went to my first NFB conference, I think it was in Baltimore in the 70s. I've been on various chapters, starting out in D.C. and then California and Oregon, Washington, Kansas, and now Nevada. Sendero Group is where we started with that backpack GPS, and that evolved into a lot of different technologies. But to Mark's point, when we had multiple options, that's really when the accessible outdoor GPS took off. And so now I have a spreadsheet of many, dozens of indoor navigation, outdoor navigation apps. And it's great to have some of the leaders in that and presenting some of the best options. I had the opportunity to work with Good Maps on the indoor navigation. I now work for American Printing House, which is the majority owner of Good Maps. But I've also been on panels with Tom before in the past because we share a passion for this kind of technology and developing options to get around. And by the way, I hope one of these days we're going to have ways to have indoor maps on the Monarch, which you've heard lots about. I also would be remiss if I didn't mention our forefathers, because people have been getting around independently for a long time before they had this digital stuff. We have James Holman in the 1820s. We have Dr. Blotin in the 1920s. And we have all of us and all of these options in the 2020s. So let me, I have a number of questions here that I want to go through quickly so you can get to know some perspective from both Waymaps and Good Maps. So I'll just start so you can hear their voices and introduce you to Charlie Meredith from Good Maps.
Charlie. All right. Thank you, Mike. My name's Charlie Meredith. My pronouns are he, him, his. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Good Maps. And I've been a programmer all my life. I earned my master's degree in computer engineering and computer science. And about 5 years ago, I had the opportunity when American Printing House was creating, at the time, it was called Access Explorer, that eventually turned into Good Maps. I was hired as the first full-time programmer. So I joined this team of four with the goal of solving the very, very complex problem of indoor navigation. And in that time, I moved into the Chief Technology Officer role, where I now oversee all of our product and engineering teams. I oversee all of our navigation algorithms, the build-out of those. I oversaw the initial build-out of Good Maps Explorer, which I know many of you have used, as well as the build-out of our new app called Good Maps Indoor Navigation. So we've had a demo here. I've had the opportunity to meet several of you and to show you the app, so I'm excited to talk more. Very honored to be on the stage. Thank you, President Riccobono, for inviting me. I'm not sure that I deserve to be here, but I'm very, very thankful to be here. And thank you, Mike, as well for organizing this.
We're dependent on you, Charlie. You definitely deserve to be here. And Tom Pei from Waymap.
Hi, I'm Tom Pei, spelled P-E-Y. I'm an Irishman working in London. I'm the founder and chief executive of Waymap. I started out a bit like Mike here many years ago with trying to do indoor navigation with big backpacks on people's backs. So I understand trying to get from A to B with a big backpack was where all of this started. Waymap started because I was the chief executive of the Royal Society for Blind Children. And we were having a meeting with the representative council of our young people. And they wanted to get around London Underground like everyone else. And the reason for that was that a couple of nights before, one of the young ladies was on a date. And because both of them were blind, they had to have sighted guides going around. And she said it kind of spoiled the fun. So She wanted an app to get around just like everyone else. And we applied to Google.org, and they gave us $1 million to go out and change the world for blind people. And from that, we spoke to thousands of us, because I'm visually impaired myself. We spoke to thousands of us across the world. And from that, we developed the world's first standard for audio-based navigation, which is part of the UN's Code of Standard, and is deeply embedded in Nothing About Us Without Us. And today, that has moved along, and we are, today we are Waymap, and again, a bit like Charlie, I don't feel like I deserve to be here, but it is really nice to be here, and the weather here is an awful lot better than it is in London, so thank you.
All right, thank you, Tom. And I should mention that we've been testing a number of the techniques for indoor navigation at NFB for many years. This isn't, as Charlie said, it's a very complex challenge. And so we installed the first Bluetooth beacons at the NFB headquarters. Then it was Wi-Fi fingerprinting. And it's evolved to cameras and LiDAR. And the techniques keep changing. So we're going to get into the weeds a little bit so you can get a feeling for how complicated it is, but also what it's doing for us. I should also mention a little bit of a comparison between indoor and outdoor navigation. Indoors, you don't have streets and sidewalks and named streets. You don't have named hallways. And the hallways bend around. They're not on a grid. And they're pretty wide. So do you navigate somebody down the middle of the hallway? Or does somebody want a shoreline? And all of these different issues that come up. And you don't want them zigzagging like they're drunk down the road following the technology. So that's quite different in how we navigate indoors. And, of course, you don't have GPS, so that's not really even in the equation. So let me start with Charlie and ask about there's three pieces of the puzzle here, generally speaking. And one is the positioning. So outdoors, you have GPS. Indoors, you have different techniques. You have maps, and many databases of maps have been developed outdoors, Google and TomTom and Apple and so forth. And then you have the user interface. Now, that's a huge part, and that's a big part of where NFB has come into giving feedback on how this user interface works. So, Charlie, tell us about positioning, mapping, and the UI.
Okay. I mean, absolutely, you're right, Mike. I think one of the biggest challenges outright is that when you're outdoors, you have the luxury of having the grid system, right, the road system that you can navigate people on. But in indoors, it's a completely Wild West environment. So one of the biggest challenges that we've had is figuring out how to build that user experience. And I'm a big believer that you can have amazing technology, but if you don't fuse that with an incredible user experience, then that technology kind of goes to waste. So our approach is completely computer vision based. So as you mentioned, GPS is not accurate enough indoors, especially to navigate someone who's blind. You can imagine being in an office environment or somewhere with very tight hallways, and we really need that like centimeter level accuracy to be able to provide that accurate turn-by-turn navigation. So we use a computer vision approach. We're very proud of what we've built. We say that we have an accuracy of under 1 meter, but really it's more around 25 centimeters. We're able to find where you are within a building. And then we fuse that with the user experience that we've tested with hundreds of blind users. So, about 100 blind users, but dozens of focus groups. So we've been all over the world. We're currently in 12 countries. We've tested, we have a great partnership with Seattle Sound Transit. So if any of you are from Seattle, we're starting to map several of their train stations. Yeah, we're very, very excited about that. Portland International Airport, we have a great relationship with them. And then if any of you are from the UK, we're also, we've mapped most of the major national rail stations. So if you know, King's Cross, Paddington, all the ones that you've heard of. So we've worked with tons and tons of blind users. We've met with you all here. And, you know, I really believe in listening to feedback. It's not about ego, right? Like, I've gotten some pretty good criticism, but also some very positive reactions. And that's what it's all about, right? I think it's very important to iterate and listen and to really listen to that feedback and try to make it work for everyone. So it's all about listening to users, and that's what we're all about at GoodMaps.
An ongoing process. Tom, what about positioning mapping in the UI at Waymap? How's that all happening?
Well, we started from the point of view that really what people want are accurate instructions so that you can navigate from A to B quite easily and with a minimum of anxiety. And of course, behind that is a lot of technology. So our location technology works indoors and outdoors. It will work with, it will take a GPS signal just to make it, the sense check it outdoors from time to time. But GPS is very inaccurate. So the seamless indoor to outdoor, outdoor to indoor transition was really important for us. And the other thing is that, yeah, we do use the visual positioning cameras like GoodMaps, but we don't use it to, we only use it if you feel you need it, or our algorithm tells us that we remain unable to solve the problem without it. And that should never happen, but just in case it does, we don't want to lose you. The other thing that that we did was that we downloaded, we don't rely on you being, on you using your data. So if you put your phone on airplane mode, for instance, you should still get a positioning response, because everything you need is built into the phone, because we use very powerful algorithms which were initially built for the US military. We use those to position you to within 1 meter accuracy, and we use all of the sensors on the phone to know that you're going in the way you should be. We can also measure up and down. And so we know if you're going upstairs, downstairs, using an escalator, an elevator, and so on. But you know, we're about to launch across the entire city of Washington, D.C. So if anybody is here from Virginia, Maryland, or the District of Columbia. So at the end of August, the entire 11,000 bus stops and the 110 stations, with the exception of the Pentagon, will be will be available. So please come and do it. And we're also, if anybody here is from Singapore, then please try us out over there as well. Thank you.
Tom, how do you do the mapping?
We do just, mapping is a big, big problem, and it's actually the biggest barrier to accessible mobility, because at this present moment in time, we need to take a CAD from the customer. I think GoodMaps and ourselves are the same, and we do a LiDAR scan of the area to make sure that we have the accuracy of mapping. But this is an area where we've actually put millions of dollars into improving mapping and taking the mapping technology to a place where it should not be a barrier to entry. Fingers crossed, in the lab we're currently testing a system which won't require LiDAR scanning. And that would mean that we should be able to make our system, and not just our system, but we should be able to make the data available to people who want to provide indoor navigation for blind and partially sighted people, because we believe sharing is caring. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I've always enjoyed being on the cutting edge of technology, but maybe my tolerance level for failure is a bit higher than other people's because I'm intrigued by it. So one of the questions for both of them is about the strengths and weaknesses, because I think, generally speaking, people want something to be reliable at least 90% of the time. I mean, you think about GPS, and you've gotten used to its foibles, and we use it all the time, and you curse at it all the time, but you use it. And I think that indoor navigation has to be at least that good in order to be something that you'll bother with. Otherwise, you'll try it and say, well, that's interesting, or you'll get a demo, but you won't use it in your day-to-day life. So, Charlie, what are the strengths, and talk about what are the weaknesses of the technology at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the weaknesses. I think that with any AI computer vision approach, AI is not perfect. Even those of us who have used ChatGPT, you know that it has a tendency to hallucinate and to make up things. And so definitely we've encountered that problem. I think that we've come a long way in terms of reducing those hallucinations, just like ChatGPT has just gotten better and better about not providing fake information. So we're at the point now where we pretty much filter out those hallucinations completely. And now really the issue that we're running into is the user experience. How do you tell someone and tell people, you know, of varying abilities, varying backgrounds, how to navigate indoor spaces, right? Turn left may mean something very different to one person to the next. So it's very difficult to get that language in a spot where it works for everyone. And I think what we're realizing is that for our app, we really need to start providing more customization to really make sure that it works for everyone and to everyone's preferences as well. And I think the other challenge is our mapping. So very similar to what Tom and Waymaps does, we create all of our own maps. So we provide a LiDAR scan. We come and we have a team that creates very, very detailed maps with all of the destination information labeled. So it's very, very rich data. But the moment that we leave, that map is outdated because, as you all know, indoor environments change. Elevators go down. Escalators go down. I think it was maybe yesterday or the day before one of the escalators was down coming back from the exhibit hall here at the Rosen Center. So that's a problem that we're starting to address head on. I really like the way that Waze has handled this for outdoor navigation, where they actually use crowdsourced data. So they rely on their users to report when, you know, there's broken down. I'm glad that's resonating. We're excited about that. So that's our goal, is to provide tools for our users to be able to report things that have changed, but also tools for our building owners to make updates whenever they change things as well. So that is kind of the next big problem that we're starting to take on.
Yeah, hear, hear for user input. This is something we started at Sendero in the early days of 2000 with the outdoor stuff, and we built up maybe 15,000 user points of interest contributed by users. And there's often just the points that we want. You want to cut across a field or a parking lot, and if that's marked in the database and you share it with other people, then they could take advantage of it. Tom, tell us about the strengths and particularly the weaknesses of Waymap so far.
Well, there's no technology that is out there today that works perfectly for blind people. I think it's fair to say that, you know, in working with, if you can make it work for blind people, it'll work for everybody. That's why, you know, we spent an awful lot of time figuring out how to do it. To get to a kind of a 95% success rate, and I think we can promise that with a lot of confidence, probably better, but let's say 95% for the moment. A couple of things. You can't use just one system, you know, because a lot of feedback that we got was that blind people don't want to be carrying their phone outside of their body. They want to put it in their pocket or in their handbag, just like everybody else. That cost us a lot of money, a lot of time, but we solved the problem. So, again, try it out in Washington, D.C., and break it for us because we want to make it better, right? The other thing that we found out was that people want to change their mind when they're, so they start out and they want to go to, they want to go to the pizza place. And then somebody says, no, let's not meet at the pizza place. Let's meet somewhere else. And so midstream, they want to change their mind. So we've built that feature in. And again, that the technology to do that is massive. The strengths of it is that our system works on the basis of AI. So if we take it that we're the people who need a lot of support to get around, you know, the routes need to be accurate, the step counts need to be accurate. But if you're not visually impaired, you can do it less accuracy. You're going to work out better routes than we are with using mathematics. So we have a system whereby people who are not visually impaired can share their steps. So, in other words, we would pick up data from them. We look at their routes, and we will update the route so that you get the best route going. It also means that we mitigate against lots of changes in the environment. But Charlie brought up the biggest point of all, which is the minute that you finish a CAD drawing, the environment changes. We've now worked out a system whereby our data, so if, for instance, in Washington, the elevator goes out, the very minute that WMATA tells the customer that the elevator goes out, we have that data and it changes the route for the customer, right? So we can then reroute somebody to a different elevator or to the escalators or to whatever. But also if there's a wheelchair customer coming through, we can advise them to go to the next station, maybe get off, get a bus or something so that they don't change. So, but again, that requires human input. We know that rail operators don't always put the data into the environment. You know, they upset more than just blind people with bad information. But nonetheless, I think, you know, the main stuff like changes of platform, delays in trains, delays in buses, all of that we get and we can reflect it in the app so that you have the most up-to-date information and ability to solve the problems that is available to anybody else.
Yeah, that's those are great points. I would add two things to the weakness. One is, number one is probably the lack of maps. There's so few places where you even have indoor maps. Yeah. I sure wish we had some between the Rosen Plaza and here. The first morning I came over here, it took me 40 minutes. There was not a soul in that convention center to say, am I headed in the right direction? I got Ira on the phone, and they looked around. They didn't see any signs either. They tried to pull up some maps. So 40 minutes, and eventually I got it down to under 20 minutes back and forth, but no maps. And the sighted people, I'm sure, would have the same problem. And the other thing is location information. People are so geared towards destination-oriented travel. Tell me where to turn, and that's the way all the car GPSs are set up. I really want, if I had to choose between give me a route or give me all the information that I'm passing, I'd choose that. I'd call it location literacy.
Yeah.
So let me ask the gentleman, what about integrations? There's so much information that we're trying to access, transit information, other databases in hotels. There might be what rooms are available or what, you know, you want to get to a building room or you want to schedule something. So what about integrations of your technology with some of these others, and particularly not just with transit, but with outdoor apps? Because in the end, we really would like to book a complete trip door to door and not have to be running 10 apps. Charlie?
Yeah, so to kind of start off talking about transit, so with our partnership with Seattle Sound Transit, we've worked with them to build the elevator integrations kind of that you just mentioned, where with our app, as soon as an elevator goes offline, it actually connects to Sound Transit. We get that information immediately, and it's able to route you around down to escalators or elevators. And we're hoping to work with more building providers. You know, not everyone has that real-time level of information. But some of our other transit providers in the UK, I know, have that data, so we're starting to work on that a little bit more. In terms of integrations with outdoor apps, we actually have an app called Good Maps Outdoors. I know some folks here have used that. We have a deep link that jumps over to that app, but you know, for me personally, I'm always wanting to do more than just a deep link. I'm always wanting a more deeper integration, so I've talked to a couple of other exciting folks who are doing something similar to what we're doing, except for outdoors, where it's actually more of a camera-based approach for outdoor navigation. So I'm excited to kind of move some of those conversations forward. The thing that I'm personally most excited about, and I know that there's a few enthusiasts in this room, are smart glasses. So I've seen a lot of people wearing the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses that have AI and they have cameras on them. And the good news about our technology is that we've tried to be very forward-thinking and know that these kind of devices are only going to be more prevalent. So I very much so hope that we can form connections with Meta and the folks who create those Ray-Ban glasses, so that way we can start to potentially integrate with those, so that way you don't have to have your phone out the entire time when you're using Good Maps. I'm very excited about the camera-based approach for that reason. And then if you layer on the AI on top of that, I think it could be a very compelling experience where you take the camera information, we're able with our technology to figure out exactly where you are within a building, and then using our very, very detailed mapping data, use the AI to actually synthesize what's around you and tell you, you've got a bathroom that's 20 feet in front of you. What are some good restaurants near my gate? Okay, there's a Wendy's, there's this burger restaurant, and there's, you know, Asian food, right? So being able to take our mapping data and have the AI actually tell you what's around you and what's around the place that you are going to be at in in the next 10 minutes or so.
I had the opportunity to try Waymap at the Braddock Station on the Washington, D.C. Metro system, and I think one of the things that impressed me the most was the integration with transit. So I knew when the next Metro Yellow Line was coming along, and it gave me the exact minute. How's that all coming, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, basically, to be really nerdy about it, it's called a GTFS feed. So all of that information is available in the web someplace. So it's about a matter of being able to scrape it and organize it so it comes out and is available to you without you having to do anything. So it just comes up. But it also changes the routing, yeah? Because there's no point in knowing that the train is platform has been changed to platform 3 from platform 2 if you can't get from platform 3 to platform 2. So we update the route immediately so you can get to where you are. So it's going very well. Charlie made a really good point, because actually, you know, it is very clear to everybody in the tech world that the era of the mobile phone is going to die over the next 5 to 10 years, and that wearable devices are going to become more prevalent. But for that to work for people like us, then this whole technology around visual positioning has got to get better. The probability of failure at the moment is just too high for us to rely on it. But nonetheless, we are working with a number of universities, both in the United States, in Europe, and in the United Kingdom, where some really cool technology sort of solutions are happening to that, because we need to get this visual positioning, the probability of failure up to about 98% for it to be effective as a sole way of getting around. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Hear, hear. Let me move towards what's happening in the future a little bit. Charlie touched on the hands-free glasses, and that's been a pet project of mine to try to link up a lot of these companies to talk to each other, because we obviously have one hand tied up with a cane or a dog and maybe a hand rolling a bag, and there's no hands left. So what are we going to do? And these lanyard neck wallets, one that I have on me right now, is one approach. The Meta glasses and Vision AI glasses, there's so many, and there's others coming out. Those are all important, and they offer the AI as well. And when I walk through an airport now, I'm less likely to call and get streaming video assistance, and I'll just turn on Seeing AI and let it blurt to me all the signs that it's seen, and I can find my gate that way.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, what's happening, and what do you think in the sort of the bigger picture as we get AI video, which is coming next in GPT-4.0, and it might help. It's still going to be slow connectivity, but it can augment what's happening with the maps that you guys have created. How do you see that working in the future, collaborating with AI?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about what I'm seeing with ChatGPT and the new 4.0 model and how fast that is. Again, I think that it's all about the fusion of this technology. So I don't ever envision us just having a page that just is using, you know, 4.0 and not really adding anything. I think that for us, we'll be figuring out ways to integrate that very deeply with our navigation and with kind of the other features that we're working on. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's an incredible tool. I think that it's come a really, really long way. The other thing that I think for our future, and this is not as exciting as AI, but, you know, kind of going back to the challenges that we mentioned earlier, one of the biggest challenges is getting building owners to adopt this technology and to come on board and to say, you know, yes, we want to make our spaces more accessible. And a lot of our partners actually, you know, accessibility, that's the only reason they need to come on board. But, you know, other people that we've talked to, they want to see other other reasons that they can get value out of this. So, and one of the most common things that we've heard is that they actually want good maps to plug into their app, right? They don't want their building guests to have to download another app. And I'm sure that you all in this room also don't want to have to download another app. So, yeah, so how do we work with... how do we work with these, you know, airport providers to, for example, integrate Good Maps into their app in a very easy, simple way? So that's something that we're going to be working on in the next several months so that we can get that adoption up, because our number one goal right now is to grow and to bring Good Maps to more and more places so that way you all can use it and benefit from it.
Yeah, it's amazing that accessibility in a hotel means Braille on the doorways and giant bathrooms. Yeah. And there would be one. It'd be wonderful if the building code someday said they mandate maps, and that would benefit sighted mm-hmm. people and blind people. Mm-hmm. Tom, what do you think about AI in our future?
Well, I want to have a big shout out to a friend of mine, Amos Miller, who's is absolutely breaking the sound barrier when it comes to accessibility for blind people. His system Glide, which I'm sure is in its early stage of development. This is the future for wayfinding for blind people. The integration of a solution like Good Maps or Waymap into the White Cane, where the White Cane will develop the maps itself as it goes around. Hey guys, you know, we get to solve the problem for ourselves. We don't depend on the good nature of hoteliers to help us get around. We do it ourselves, and that's the only way we're going to do it. So well done, Amos.
Hear, hear. Well, for more information, where would people follow up with Good Maps?
Please follow us on social media and goodmaps.com. You'll get all of the links that you need there. We also have an advocacy page. So if you go to goodmaps.com and you scroll all the way down in the footer, there's a page that will tell you kind of how to advocate for getting indoor navigation to your local airport or to your local shopping mall, museum, any building like that. We work a lot with malls and museums. So please check out our website. Use that advocacy page. And hopefully you will soon have a Good Maps building near you that you can use.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have Good Maps and Waymap side by side in New Orleans. Wouldn't that be nice? Tom?
Yeah, like Good Maps, we're at waymapnav.com. You know, we want a world where blind people get around like everyone else. And that doesn't mean using Waymap. That means getting around like everyone else. And we're going to integrate with any technology we can. So, yes, just follow us on social media. Encourage us and criticize us, because that's the only way we're going to get better and solve problems for you. So thank you for having me here, and thanks for the good weather.
Yes.
And Tom, I know that you're close to wrapping things up in the Washington, D.C. Metro. When will people be able to try it? A real date.
Yeah, the 1st of September of 2024. It's absolutely going live. We've been signed off by the safety people at WMATA. So all we're doing now is arranging the internal comms so they can get the information out to you guys. So please try it, September 1st, 2024.
All right, let's hold his feet to the fire.
Yeah. And we want We want 20,000 people using it by the end of the year, because that's, the only way that you're going to get anybody, whether it's Good Maps or whether it's us or some other supplier, is if we start using it and we show them that it's benefiting us, right? So download it and go for it. Yeah. And for God's sake, don't walk out in front of a train when you're doing it.
Well, I'm going to close here and just mention a couple of my favorite terms. And, of course, they said the better you get around, the better you engage in life. I often talk about alternative tools and techniques and the toolbox. And I was just counting up my toolbox, just coming over here. I have 11 things. So add one more thing to your toolbox, which is accessible navigation. Fortunately, other than maybe glasses, you don't really have to have anything physical, because I know my backpack is full. And I would also encourage you to follow up with the American Printing House, as we will be doing all sorts of things. I'm officially the Navigation Technology Advisor, so I think you'll see a lot of cool things that overlap with indoor navigation, outdoor navigation. I really want to see Good Maps Outdoors get some attention, since 95-98% of our navigation is still outdoors, so let's make that better as well. And finally, another saying to go away with: all of this leads to something that I call the power of getting unlost. There's a lot of benefit to getting lost, but you can't do it unless you have tools to get unlost. So take that away with you. Thanks very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Tom, great to have Waymap here for the first time. We hope that you'll be back many times again. And Good Maps, glad to have you here. And as always, Mike May, appreciate your work to be an active participant in the organized blind movement.